Dear friends in Christ, there are a number of important themes that come from the Bible readings today, but they need a little comment there to understand what our Lord is saying. We heard some very strange sounding words at the beginning of the Gospel, where Jesus says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother and so on, he cannot be my disciple. Does he really mean hate in the way that we use hate? No, back in that time in the Hebrew language, sometimes the word hate would mean simply turn your back on or turn away from and go away from. And Jesus is saying, if you're called to be my disciple and your family are against it, if they don't believe in me but you do, well, in that case you have to just say no to them, because God comes first in our life, right? And at the end of the Gospel he says, any one of you who doesn't renounce or give up all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. Is he saying that we can't get to heaven, we can't be Christians, unless we give away all the material possessions we have? No, he doesn't mean that. In this context, when he's talking about being his disciple, he's thinking more of disciple in the sense of someone who was actually accompanying Jesus, traveling around the Holy Land during his lifetime, like the original 12 disciples, we call the apostles. But they were the ones who had to give up everything to follow Jesus. And he's saying to the people, if you want to do that, if you want to come and follow me and accompany me all the way, to visiting all the towns around Israel, you have to give up everything. But that applies not to everybody, but always during the history of the church, right up to now, the church has always said, yes, some people are called to that vocation, to give up their worldly possessions and give up marriage and family, to dedicate themselves completely to God. These are the people we call like nuns, right? Ladies who give up everything and they wear the religious habit and they live together in a community. They don't get married. Same with men who take religious vows and priests who belong to religious orders, and they make a vow not to get married, not to have private personal possessions, and to obedience, to obey their superiors, like the Franciscan, Dominican, Jesuit fathers, and many other religious orders. So there's always been that very important vocation in the church to follow Jesus' instructions here, quite literally, giving up everything. And we should pray for many religious vocations to this consecrated life, giving up marriage and family and worldly possessions, because this brings tremendous graces from heaven, not just to the people who make that decision, but to all of the church and all of the world. In the eyes of the world, it seems pretty useless to shut yourself up in maybe in a convent and just pray. But in God's sight, that's a tremendously valuable contribution to the church. It's often said that men and women who are consecrated as nuns, religious sisters and brothers, it's like the praying heart of the whole church, bringing down many, many graces. So let's pray. Maybe some young people here today, when they get a bit older, might feel that God is calling you to give your life to Jesus in a full-time way by being a sister or a brother or a priest. There's another very important thing that comes through the readings today, and with just a few words about this. It's a very unhappy theme. It's the theme of slavery. And of course, in this country, we have that terrible heritage of slavery that wasn't abolished until 150 years ago, in the time of the Civil War, as we all know. And after that, still a lot of discrimination. But in the second reading, which we heard in Hungarian, for those who don't understand Hungarian, that little reading is from one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's a letter of St. Paul's, shortest letter, to Philemon. And it's about a young man called Onesimus who had been a slave. Back at that time, in Jesus' time, slavery was everywhere. All the countries practiced slavery. And Philemon had been the owner of this young man called Onesimus. who'd been a slave, and he'd run away. We can't blame him, right? He was a slave. He ran away from his master. But he was a Christian, and he joined St. Paul. And for a while, he was working and helping St. Paul. In this little letter, St. Paul is giving him a letter to take back to Onesimus. He says, I'm sending him back to you, but now no longer as a slave, but as a brother. No longer as a slave, but as a brother. Those little words in this little letter have had a tremendous effect down through history, together with a couple of other passages in St. Paul's letters, where he says, in Jesus Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, man or woman, slave or free, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus was revealing to us that all men and women of all races have equal dignity, are equally precious in God's sight. That message, little by little, undermined the bad practice of slavery. And after 1,000 years, in the Christian part of the world, slavery had basically vanished altogether. Little by little it was abolished, and the conditions of the slaves got better and better. Then, after the first 1,000 years, in the second 1,000 years, around 1500, 1600, 1700, unfortunately, as we know, slavery made a comeback. And there was that terrible injustice of capturing African people, innocent, and bringing them across as slaves to America, not just to this country, but most of the countries in the Americas. And the church has always taught that slavery, in the sense of just being just a possession of somebody else with no human rights, when the master has even the right of life and death over his slave, that has always been rejected by the church as immoral. And so has the practice of capturing innocent people, like happened to so many Africans, just raiding the villages and capturing those men, women, children, bringing them across as slaves. That's been condemned again and again by the popes in different letters over the centuries. But many, many people, including many Catholics, unfortunately, they didn't take any notice of what the popes said, and they carried out slavery anyway, making excuses that, oh, well, the Bible says, particularly in the Old Testament, we read about slaves being held in those times. Yes, but that wasn't really slavery in the same sense that was practiced in this country. If you look at the Old Testament, yes, we find that slavery was practiced, but it wasn't lifetime slavery. It was like 7 years. It was more like you're committed to work for a certain master for 7 years, and then you go free. So it wasn't really slavery. It was like a temporary. Sometimes it was seen as a punishment for crimes. People would be sentenced to slavery as a punishment. Now that doesn't apply either, of course. Unfortunately today, even though there's no country in the world that officially allows slavery, there is a huge amount of slavery going on, particularly in Muslim countries. The Islamic faith, Islam, the Muslims, their holy book, the Quran, it approves slavery completely. And unfortunately, in different parts of the world, that's going on. And also illegally, in the form of human trafficking, that's going on in many countries. Even in this country, young men and women being sold as sex slaves into prostitution, this kind of thing. It's a terrible evil. It's still going on. So today we should pray especially for a complete end to all kinds of slavery, remembering what St. Paul says here. We are all brothers and sisters with equal dignity in God's sight. And we must pray that becomes a reality in our society here and every society. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.